2, 3.
Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Thanks for being with us. This is Reba Haas with Team Reba at RE/MAX Metro East Side.
And Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank, Home Mortgage.
Yeah, welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. So we still have with us Andy Wappler, the VP of Corporate Affairs from Puget Sound Energy. And before the break, Eric was starting to ask a couple questions. Why don't you pick back up where we were at?
Right. Well, I'm kind of actually looking for some information on this upgrade for the East Side Corridor and what that actually means. Are you talking about putting up, you know, new lines, new towers, new locations? You know, what does that all entail?
Sure. And those are great questions. And those are the questions we're hearing from people in the community. And I'll start by saying when you say transmission line, immediately people think of that giant, mm-hmm. like, erector set thing that comes out of, like...
Right, where your hair stands up, you know, below
yeah.
it.
Well, well, if you
okay,
have
here
hair.
They come, here it comes. Right, yeah.
You knew
I think
it.
The phrase just walked into
I used
that
to
one.
Have it, but I gave myself a propane haircut years ago, so...
There you go.
That's right.
You know, people, when they hear transmission line, they think two things. They think those giant erector set monsters that come out of, like, a Grand Coulee Dam... Not what
right.
this is. They also tend to think, hey, that must be for sending power a long ways to someplace far away.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, we're not talking about those gigantic
monsters.
Erector set monsters. And we're also not talking about power a long ways away. This is really about a local problem. And mm-hmm. so we're going to go from, and this is electricity, we're going to go from the current line, which is 115 kV, which is kind of a lower rated line. And that's just a measure of how much power it can transmit. To 230 kV or kilovolts. So a good portion of the East Side has this 230 kV line today. In fact, it is a line that comes down from the north out to the Willows Road area, goes east out of the Sammamish Plateau, mm-hmm. and then back to Renton. If you picture sort of a backwards C shape over the East Side, mm-hmm. this line goes around Lake Sammamish and then back to Renton. Well, where we don't have that upgraded line today is right along that 405 corridor. And that's where the most growth is.
Right.
So the smallest, lowest capacity line is where the most energy use and the most growth is. What we'll do on that line then is put in new poles. They'll be a little taller than the poles that are there now. Now the poles average about 60, 65 feet. We're probably looking at someplace around 80 for most of it. But I actually brought... because it's a radio interview, I brought pictures.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, which
oh,
makes
yeah.
a lot of sense.
Cool.
I'll do a test with this man on the street here, Reba. Here's the line today. And you can see this is a simulation here on Somerset.
Okay.
So here's the line today.
Where is it? I see some
view.
Trees. I see some nice houses. That house needs gutters. That house...
and maybe a new roof while you're at it.
There's your view at the top, Eric. There's your view after.
Okay, so we got the before and the after. And
if you can ever send us these, we can always post them on the blog,
sure.
too, to go along with the interview.
Andy, I see very little difference here. I see you've got the poles are a little bit new, but they're the same height. And I'd argue the new ones are a little nicer looking than the old ones. And I don't really see much of a difference here at all.
Well, I've heard that you guys have actually been working with neighborhoods based on feedback, because some poles are going to go down and some are going to go up based on what the neighborhoods have been asking
That's
for.
That's right. And so it really depends on where you happen to be. And I put this picture over here to Reba, too. So here's the existing line today. And you can mm-hmm. see this is a view from Somerset. There it is mm-hmm. in the future.
Right.
Not
much
not a lot
different.
Of difference. And here's a view I'm showing Eric of in the Bridal Trails area.
Oh, I recognize that neighborhood. Okay. So really you're going from maybe one row of wires to two or three rows of wires.
We've got two sets today of it's three wires. It's three phase mm-hmm. current, so each line electrically has three wires.
Right.
That's the extent of my knowledge of electricity.
Okay.
But we're going from one pair of three on a two-legged wooden pole, side by side, twins,
sure.
to either a single double pole. The big point to me is this has been the corridor for about 90 years. And as we worked with our community advisory group, which was all of 2014, they landed on the idea of, okay, we get the need. You should probably put it where the corridor has been.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're nearby, you will likely have fewer poles near you. And while they're a little taller, they're farther apart. So kind of a trade-off.
Right.
And in some cases, like in bridle trails, one of the things we heard from people was that height didn't matter as much because they have a lot of trees. They're not a view neighborhood.
Right.
But fewer poles near my backyard, that did matter.
Right.
And to your point about being able to customize a bit, mm-hmm. in the Somerset area, it is a view neighborhood. It's a hill.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there, it was much more of a concern of make it as close to the existing height as you can. We're less mm-hmm. concerned about the number of poles. We're concerned about height. Right. So bridle trails, very woody, not mm-hmm. really a view neighborhood in that sense.
Mm-hmm. So make them fewer right. poles and taller.
Farther apart.
Got it.
Yeah. We really
it.
Have an ability well, to and this do must, a lot of that.
You know, because you want to put the cost as much as possible into actually doing the lines, too. And the thing is most people don't realize that if you were to have to get other areas, there'd be even more cost associated because you'd have to be dealing with more easements. You'd have to be dealing with buying a property. I mean, this is already going to be an expensive project.
It is.
And it would go up multifold. And I know some people were saying, well, why can't we put it underground? Oh, my gosh, if you want to put 25 times more cost on it, put it underground.
It's much more expensive underground. And the other thing that's funny about the utility business that's very different than other businesses, we are regulated by the state.
Mm-hmm.
And in most businesses, if you could decrease your cost, you're going to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
Utility business is different. The regulatory model incents us to make sure the infrastructure can serve the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about that a little bit in broadband today where people say, hey, it isn't coming to the small town. Well, mm-hmm. that's because the broadband might not see enough customers there.
Right.
They're not regulated the same way. Because electricity is essential, the regulation is designed to make sure everybody gets quality service. So as the utility, we balance the ability to do that with we also know that people are sensitive to how big the bill is.
Right.
That's where the overhead is probably the right solution. The other funny thing with undergrounding is, in addition to being expensive, you actually are very disruptive.
Mm-hmm.
If you undergrounded transmission lines,
you're
taking out potentially more trees than
mm-hmm.
if it's overhead because
the
roots
repairs.
Go as far as the branches.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So you have to do that. You also need access vaults about every half mile. So underground
repair work would also be
very
that
challenging.
Much more yes.
And you really have a different set of impacts there. In addition to the cost,
mm-hmm.
you have a different set of impacts. But we do want to continue to work to do what we can to make it fit where it's going to be. And really, mm-hmm. ultimately, I think that's why being our community advisory group was very strong in saying you should probably try to be where there's already infrastructure today.
Right.
Makes sense. So, Andy, what would happen if this upgrade were not completed, did not go through?
That's the fun part.
Yeah, it's a great question. And so what's driving it? Well, it's really the fact that this 50-year-old system is reaching its capacity. And capacity simply means the ability to deliver enough energy
mm-hmm.
to the users. And it's a little bit like if you went to, like, the Seahawks parade. And remember, everybody tried to get on their mm-hmm. phone. They wanted to tweet their friends.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Nobody could connect.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because the cell system didn't have the capacity for that number of users. That's essentially what you're looking at here electrically, sometime in the 2018 time frame, so not far from now.
Yeah.
Where as demand...
I've heard even possibly as early as 2017, depending on when a bunch of projects come online.
It depends on what's built. It also mm-hmm. depends then on the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Our peak use here is on cooler winter days, although our planning standard is for 23-degree days at SeaTac,
mm-hmm.
which is colder than average. The coldest in December or January is 33, 34, but it's a temperature we reach every other year or so.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not planning for the ice age.
Right.
We're talking about colder winter days every couple of years when we all wake up in the morning, want a hot shower, want the coffee pot, want mm-hmm. the furnace on. But if we don't build this, you're over capacity. And through federal regulations, and we have a lot of them at the utility,
right.
if you know you're going to be over capacity, you actually then have to start doing rolling blackouts.
Right, which people I know who've moved up here from California are very familiar with those and are not looking forward to the idea of having to live through them again because it's extremely difficult. And if you're a business owner, just truly impacts.
It's bad news all around. When I was a kid, we lived for a couple of years in New York, and it would happen on the hot summer days.
We'd
have brownouts or blackouts.
Yeah.
And it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just didn't work. And while we don't have that here in the summer, although the air conditioners are catching up with the furnaces in Western Washington.
Oh, yeah. I bought some portables. I bought two portables for my house last year, and I see more mini splits being put and heat pumps and whatnot put into homes right now. So what has traditionally been only about 10% of the housing here, more of the new construction has it built in, or at least the option is given.
That's right.
For that. So there's going to be more draw in the summer. And when we hit 90 plus, you bet your mama that that's going to be on.
Yeah. And we are certainly counting on conservation, energy efficiency to be a big part of meeting this demand. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting, one of the independent reports actually done by the city of Bellevue, they heard from citizens who are concerned about the project. Do we really need it? Now, to some degree, to me, I think you can say yes just by frankly doing the windshield survey.
Right. Yeah. Go look at how many cranes are up.
You know, if folks don't feel that, I understand that. So they asked the city of Bellevue, could you do a study and validate what PSC is saying? And the city of Bellevue did. Came out last year, it validated it. One of the things that study said was PSC is counting on energy efficiency too much in the future. Hmm. And we have great customers here. They do energy efficiency mm-hmm. at a level that most people in the country don't do.
Yeah, right. Absolutely true.
But we simply can't save our way out of the problem. It will help us. It will help us both economically, environmentally, and everything else. It will also help extend the life that this line can continue to serve. And we mm-hmm. expect it would be at least 20 years. But it's not an answer at the moment.
Okay. Well, maybe I should feel really good that we have very dim lights here in the studio today.
Yeah, I know. I was going to ask
talking
you
about your guests.
We're not
PSE,
though. We're
maybe
sitting,
you can kind of help us out on this, Andy. We have, like, very, very dim lights in the studio.
We have our own brownout here in the studio today. Good thing it's beautiful outside with open windows.
Well, you know, and the energy efficiency thing, we're all about that. And I don't know, as someone, you know, as a homeowner, I look at the electric bill and I look at that comparison from, mm-hmm. you know, how did I do last month? How did I do last year compared to this year? And it's looking mm-hmm. really good.
Yeah.
I've switched to LED lighting pretty much mm-hmm.
same
you know,
thing
throughout
in my
the house.
CFLs and LEDs.
I like those so much. I switched to my LED on my car, like my headlights. Oh my gosh.
And your motorcycle.
Those are frighteningly bright. Yeah, the folks that I'm following.
I'm sure they love you.
Yeah, they
all those
love
Prius you're behind.
The Priuses. Prii.
Christina.
Yeah.
What's interesting, though, that tends to happen, though, is a bit of what's called the take-back effect. So mm-hmm. you feel so good about your lighting. And the same thing for me. Mm-hmm. Most of our house is LED. Now I got a bigger TV.
That's
and
right.
And now I'm plugging in more stuff. So it's a tough battle.
Figuring out that balance. You know, so you got to look at your bill, though, and kind of see how that's doing compared
well,
to
Well, I always feel good because I have a 3,000, just a little over 3,000 square foot house, and I get that comparison report because I'm on PSE mm-hmm. Down in Renton. And my bill is the same or less than a lot of my neighbors, and most of the homes around me are 2,400 or less square feet. So I feel
good
pretty good
on
about that.
That's
so,
excellent.
Yeah.
When we come back, more with Andy Wappler from Puget Sound Energy and the Energize East Side Project. Stay tuned.
Open House has open phone lines. Give us a call at 866-712-1300.